If you've been around here this week, you've seen the things that have gone on. We lost not just two people in a week or in a month from this small community, but two within one night. And part of an even sub-community within our bigger community, the Boaters. It's been a tough week. That's just the simple truth of it. And to put it any other way is just, or to ignore it is just silly. We have a memorial this Saturday at 2 o'clock for Chuck Holt. Chuck was an elder in this church for years, been living up in Bishop, and they're bringing Chuck back here so that we can do a memorial to him. Chuck was in his late 70s, early 80s. After a long battle with Parkinson's, he has passed. And there's a certain sense of closure to that. But when you encounter two young lives, two lives unexpectedly stopped, it's hard for us all. And there's been a lot of personal pain within it for a lot of people because of the way the one of the deaths happened. We had people observing that. That does not happen all the time. People pass quietly in their home with a few relatives around them. But to have something like this happen in a public setting was very, very hard. The Kennedy family not only lost a thing that they cherished, a boat, but they lost two people that they cherished. Bruce had been a friend of Bob's since high school. In fact, I think they actually started in junior high. I did this the first service, and I thought, okay, this is going to be really simple, the second service, and somehow it's just not. We all, when we heard that siren go off late at night, we knew the winds were doing something. We didn't know what. I stopped at that point and just, tossed a prayer to God and said, "Oh Lord, what's going on out there?" And knowing that the first responders were out there, now they were calling in for the reserves, knowing people were heading to deal with it, I prayed, and as it was equipped, I stayed out of the way. Pastor Ron, who John and I kind of kicked out of starting his Mark series this morning, because he would have been working on it this week while he was on Harbor Patrol, and many other first responders were there in the middle of it. But I want to take a special note this morning, and I kind of surprised him with this at the first service. But Ron serves a dual role out there. He's not only a harbor patrolman, not only was he actively involved in the search, not only was he in the middle of the whole thing, but he never quit being the pastor that this community loves, the pastor who loves this community with his whole heart. He never quit being the chaplain that spoke to his fellow responders. And although I know Ron, and Ron would never seek to be honored in this way, I this morning do want to honor our pastor, our harbor patrolman, Ron Aaron, along with all the other responders that were out there. Bruce was my daughter's boyfriend for 10 years. I called him my son outlaw. They never married. But I treated him as a son-in-law. He had spent many a Christmas and Thanksgiving table with us. So, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. I want to talk to you today about the problem of pain. C.S. Lewis wrote a book besides The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Really, he did. The Narnia Mythic. He wrote a lot of books. Mere Christianity, The Great Divorce. I really recommend both of those. Screwtape Letters. The Problem of Pain was one that he wrote. And it's pretty easy when you think about it. What's the problem with pain? Well, it hurts. We don't like pain. It just hurts. We just don't like it. And the thing about pain is when it's ongoing, after a while, it makes us angry. You ever have a pain that won't go away and you have to wrestle with it? And it's just like, oh, just make this go away, God. And sooner or later, if pain persists and pain continues, it makes us question God. Now, I pose that this process here is the perfect human reaction to pain. See, because if we remember the words of that one perfect human, the one who was fully human, if we remember the words of him who hung on the cross, he said to his Father in heaven, my God, why have you forsaken me? We've all felt that, forsaken by God. Jesus felt it all on the cross in ways we can't even begin to fathom. Despite his understanding of who he was, despite his understanding of who the Father was and what his mission and journey was on the earth, after asking the Father, can you take this cup? After going willingly to the cross and laying his life down, it seems it was worse than he expected. My God, why have you forsaken me? Isaiah 53 talks about what was happening on that cross. Yet it was for our weakness, it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own way. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. So when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was really feeling not only, well, he was feeling the weight of the world. The pain and the hurt that we all are suffering. The truth is, there's nothing wrong with wrestling with pain and suffering. Like I alluded to, C.S. Lewis did this. He wrote The Problem of Pain as a kind of a theoretical look at pain. What do I know about pain? He wrote another book called A Grief Observed. And I love some of his perspectives on pain and his reaction to pain. Some of his quotes from A Grief Observed speak volume to the perspective that he gained between writing The Problem of Pain, which was a theoretical look, a theological look at pain, and the publishing of his journal, A Grief Observed, which was broken into four sections as he observed his wife die of cancer over 3 years back in 1960. His wife, Helen Joy, died after a long illness, and he was there to watch and to wrestle. And, you know, Lewis had all this knowledge. and he had all these ideas, and he had to wrestle through them. And if you read one book this year, I highly suggest that book. Excuse me. But as he did, he works through in this journal of his, Grief Observed, he works through what he's thinking versus what he's feeling. One of his quotes in there is, "Feelings and feelings and feelings. Let me try thinking instead." Because our initial reaction to pain is always feelings. It hurts. I don't like this. Why are you letting this happen to me, God? Or worse yet, why are you doing this to me, God? He never lost his wry humor in the middle of it. He writes, "What do people mean when they say, 'I'm not afraid of God because I know he is good'? Have they never been to a dentist? It doesn't really matter whether you grip the arms of the dentist chair or let your hands lie in your lap. The drill drills on." I quite thought of God as a dentist, but C.S. Lewis is one that can make an analogy in that way. And as he looked at death, as he looked at pain, as he looked at suffering, he didn't always like the conclusions he came to, because they didn't always fit into who he thought God was or should be, or how all his theories from the problem of pain should work out. He says, "Not that I am, I think, in much danger of ceasing to believe in God. The real danger is coming to believe such dreadful things about him. The conclusion I dread is not, 'So there's no God after all,' but, 'So this is what God is really like? Deceive yourself no longer.'" See, he recognizes that his ideas of who God is and how he works in this world are not perfect. They're not divine. And they must be reevaluated by his continual growth and understanding of what God has done. He says, My idea of God is not a divine idea. It has to be, and get what he says here, it has to be shattered time after time. And he, God, shatters it himself. He shatters our ideas of what God and who God and how God and why God. You think you have all the answers? You don't. And he has to accept the fact that we are reminded of that. See, Lewis understands that life, Christ follower or not, is not only full of both good and bad, but the reason for both good and bad is very simply this: to point to the ultimate goodness of God. He says, "We ought to give thanks for all fortune. If it is good, well, give thanks because it is good. If bad, well, give thanks because it works in us patience, humility, and the contempt of this world." Get that phrase? The contempt of this world and the hope for our eternal country. See, Paul the Apostle also understood this, and he put it to us in Scriptures when he wrote to the church in Corinth. He says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort." In order to be comforted, you must first be afflicted. God is the source of that comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles, so that we, well, there's a reason for this comfort besides our own, so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. See, everything about God is always other-centered. He loves you dearly, and he so much wants you to love others in the way he loves you. Lewis also discovered the very practical function of pain and making our theories about God's, our understanding of the problem of pain, as we observe grief along the road of our life, they make our theories about God become very real and very important in our life. He says, you never know. You just never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life or death to you. It's easy to say you believe in a rope to be strong and sound as long as you're just using it to cord to wind around a box. But suppose you have to hang by that rope over a precipice. Wouldn't you then first discover how much you really trusted it? Never could bungee jump. I just couldn't bring myself to trust those things that much. We find out how much we trust God when He's all we're hanging on to. As simple as that. He's all we're hanging on to. We find out whether our theories about who God is and how much He can be trusted and His goodness and His nature and all we're hanging on to. See, now, so the question becomes, and it's the question for you today, whether you were part of this tragedy this week or you weren't part of this tragedy, is, will you too wrestle with God? Or are you afraid to? Will you seek to know Him that He might be your comfort? Or are you still seeking to stand on your own, rejecting the love of God based upon your perceptions of how He should work or shouldn't work? God works that way. God doesn't work that way. See, the lie has been the same ever since the Garden of Eden. Man's listened to the same lie. Is there someone whispering in your ear the lie as the serpent did in Genesis 2? Oh, he didn't really say that. I dearly love, I want you to know, to listen to Joel Osteen. And I have friends that love to listen to Joel Osteen. And his message is good and sound, but it's like half a gospel. And that's the wrestle I have with Joel. Okay? That he knows Christ. I've talked to him now. I've listened to him. I know that. But we have to accept the fact that he said things that we just don't like. And Satan in that garden looked at Adam and Eve and said, God just doesn't want you to know the difference between good and evil because you're going to end up being like him. Is someone telling you to be your own God? To find your own comfort? To not rely on a God that can't be counted on? The lie never changes. Satan's boring. Same message he's been given since the garden. Hasn't changed. Are you seeking to hear what God has to say to you? Or are you content that you can handle it on your own? These are real questions for you. And what a better week to wrestle with them if it's been a while since you've wrestled with them. Let us take this fortune, this bad fortune for our community, and let us do good with it. As Lewis said, if it's bad, it's still good because it makes us understand things that we don't want to understand. See, the question is, in what will you put your trust? Where will you look in times of hurt and grief and pain? Are we looking inside for inner strength? Are we looking for family to pull us together? Are we going to the preacher because we want to hear the preacher's words, or the counselor because we want to hear the counselor's words? Or are we looking for the Word of God to come through with these sources, to come to us that His Spirit might comfort us, that we might hear that Word? See, Jesus, the man on the cross, the one who bore all of our sins, the one who knew how to react as a human better than we know how to react as a human, knew, despite his feeling of being forsaken, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knew where to put his trust. In his final breath, in his final call, in his final word, it was, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I have to tell you this, just as a personal aside here. I wrestled this week with Bruce. I didn't know Tim other than to pass him on the street, but I knew Bruce really well. And I was wrestling with whether Bruce ever accepted Christ or not. He's a nice guy. He really was. even though him and my daughter were living together, it was hard not to like the guy. You know? And I asked myself, did he share the gospel with him? I went, yeah, I shared the gospel with him. I wonder if he ever did anything with that. And then God gave me, sitting watching a movie, I've got some copies of it out there in the entryway because it's a long story, but anyhow, I decided to watch this movie. It's called What If? And I was watching it for a whole different purpose. I wanted to make sure before I'm handing out copies of it that it was a good Christian movie. And I'm watching it, and in this, there's a guy who doesn't really want to be in this situation, but he's sitting at a bedside and finding himself sharing the gospel with someone who rejected all his life. And he brought out a very familiar parable, and one I hadn't considered as I wrestled through how I felt about these deaths. And it's the parable of the vineyard owner who goes out in the morning. You know it if you've read your scripture. He goes out in the morning and he hires some workers and agrees to a wage. Then he goes before lunch and he hires a few more. He goes after lunch and he goes, gets a few more. And then he goes in the last hour of the day and hires a few more. And at the end of the day, when everybody lines up to get their pay, he pays the last ones first. And he pays them a day's wage. And they're like, day's wage for an hour's work? Yay. Well, the guys that were hired at the first part of the day figure, well, if that's their reward, look what mine's going to be. What? I get the same reward? See, the truth of the gospel, and the hard thing to wrestle with, because it just doesn't seem fair. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's not fair that any of us have entry into heaven and entry into eternity, is it doesn't matter when, whether it be with your last breath, it doesn't matter when you turn your life to Christ. All he asks is that you do. I would urge you to make sure that when you find yourself one day wondering about the person close to you that just passed away, that you be able to ask yourself, did I ever share Christ with them? Because there's a certain comfort in knowing that they at least heard of Christ's love, Christ's comfort, and Christ's sacrifice. So that was my personal aside that I just tried to make personal. Wherever you look when trouble comes, okay, it's going to come. The Sermon on the Mount is, blessed are the persecuted, blessed are those who suffer a variety of ills. Oh, it's going to come. And you'll be blessed if you look in the right place. You see, and that mountain there. That mountain, that hill, Golgotha, and that cross on the hill. I think Psalm 121 refers to it. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Are you looking to that hill? Are you looking to the Lord Jesus Christ? I pray that you are. And I pray that you will follow him with your whole heart. And you will allow him to be the Lord of comfort this week as you wrestle with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your blessing and your love, your consistency. Thank you for giving us what we have no ability to give ourselves, the knowledge of eternal life. Let us live lives that acknowledge that every day. In Jesus' name.